Commodore Hour is on the air. Over the next hour, we'll discuss the latest around Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield. By Regions. Get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit Regions.com/anchordown to order yours today. And by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Built Ford tough. Commodore Hour starts now.
Welcome into Commodore Hour here in Nashville at the Commodore Grill. Great to have everybody out here with us this evening. Really appreciate it. We are back live and in person. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to have Vanderbilt Athletics Director Candace Lee with us. And in the more immediate future, head baseball coach Tim Corbin will join us here momentarily. But again, thanks to our friends here at the Holiday Inn Vanderbilt and, of course, the Commodore Grill. It is great to be back after a long absence of not being here in person. So we, of course, had a tough weekend in terms of baseball over the weekend. Three games against Tennessee. It was 6-2 on Friday, 5-2 on Saturday, and then 5-0 yesterday. And Coach Tim Corbin joins us. And appreciate you coming out and hanging out with us a little bit. As far as the weekend series, Tennessee pitched well. Drew Beam was outstanding yesterday. Just some thoughts initially on how things went.
Well, I thought they were all outstanding. I mean, you think of a program that revamps their pitching in three different ways, and they certainly did it with Burns, Dollander, and Beam. But they were very, very good. The entire weekend just shut us down.
On the plus side yesterday, Patrick Riley did a really good job for five innings. How much did you like the way he battled just to strand base runners, the only run he allowed really on the home run?
I thought he was good. I thought he pitched well enough to win. I thought he was aggressive. I thought he got to the zone early. As you mentioned, there were a couple innings where there was some resistance, and he pitched out of it. So his outing was good.
He finding a way to make that fastball really work for him, with a lot of run arm side, as we saw yesterday.
His fastball command is something that's improved. I mean, he throws hard. I mean, he's a kid that's anywhere from 95 to 98, and he's got good explosion to the ball. The ball has a lot of life as it gets to the plate. But I think the area that he's grown is command, and he certainly has better command of the fastball.
Visiting with Coach Tim Corbin, we'll take a quick break. Just getting started here on Commodore Hour. More to come in just a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. We are back on Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us live from Nashville on the Commodore Grill. Appreciate everybody coming out and joining us here on a Monday night. Appreciate Coach Tim Corbin being with us as well. We talked a little bit in the opening segment about Drew Beam and his performance for Tennessee yesterday. For hitters in a game like that, is there a balance between being aggressive early in the count versus trying to wait him out when he's throwing strikes?
I think getting to Beam was more of a runoff of Burns to Dollander to Beam, and you saw three completely different pitchers. I mean, you saw two high-velocity guys the first two nights, and Beam certainly had a good arm. I'm not minimizing his arm strength, but he worked more off of a breaking ball, and I think the adjustment became the rhythm change of the breaking ball more than anything else, and we could never get off a good swing, which probably goes back to a mentality where you're split in what you're looking for, whether it's a fastball or breaking ball. We can never really get off a good offensive swing.
With a lot of season remaining, how do you talk about to the guys about what they can take away from that series as we go forward here?
Well, I mean, talking to the team about this, there's certainly an approach that we talked about after this situation. We talked about it a couple hours ago, but it's getting to the point where somehow you can regroup, which we will. But it's how you regroup to get to the next point. And I would tell you that what you don't want to happen is Tennessee to beat us tomorrow night, Tennessee to beat us this weekend. I mean, I think you got to remove yourself from that situation as quickly as you can and move on, and we'll do that.
What kind of update can you give us at the moment on how Tate Colwick is doing, as well as Nick Maldonado? A couple of pieces that certainly will be impactful if they can return to the lineup as quickly as possible.
Yeah, Tate's just going to get his wrist checked and see if there's anything beyond what we already know, which is some pain. Want to know where that pain is coming from and why it is, because he's a very competitive kid. He wants to play. He would have played yesterday, But as I think I told you, Andrew, sometimes you got to save kids from themselves. And we took him out. And then Maldo threw yesterday off the mound, and he's feeling better. It's still not, he's still not completely 100%, but he's moving in that direction.
You know, one thing that you said, I guess yesterday as I was reading some of the clips, is you basically said that the game of baseball at the moment is not coming easy to this particular group. Through your experience, through all of the years that you've coached, are there a couple of markers where things start to trend easier if they start to do X, Y, and Z? What has your experience told you about transitioning from it's not easy at the moment to it gets better?
I think a lot of it revolves around confidence. It's getting on the field and playing at a level that you feel that you can. Now, I want to say that playing at the level that we played at this weekend has a lot to do with the opponent. I think sometimes you can get so caught up in the perspective of we're not playing well. Well, there's some resistance on the other side. And the resistance on the other side, at least to me, and I'm sure people that were watching it, was very clear. I mean, that was very good pitching that we faced. And certainly a lineup that has a chance to be very explosive. And I think for the most part, we kept them down. We had two disastrous innings within those first two games that kind of cost us big innings. But outside of that, we kept them under control for the most part. They didn't go off. Now they always have a chance too because they're so explosive, but I thought our pitching kept us within reach just from an offensive standpoint. At least for me, it seemed like one run was worth seven. It just felt like we were playing uphill.
You know, one particular stat to underscore that about how the Vanderbilt pitching staff helped mitigate to the best of their ability Tennessee's hitting. Tennessee dropped from 303 in team batting average in SEC play down to 274. So they lost nearly 30 points off of their team batting average. Was there anything that you saw out of your pitching staff, whether it's, boy, the performance that Carter Holton gave on Saturday I thought was admirable, bare minimum, but collectively out of the pitching staff, what did you find to be the most positive, if there was something in particular?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I think sometimes when you break it down at that level and just look at the pitching side, I thought McIlvain did a good job. Hunter Owen certainly pitched very well in relief. And then when you got into Saturday, I thought Carter adjusted himself very well. He had the one tough inning, but he poised himself up to get deep into that ball game and give us a chance as well. And then I think after that, we pitched well too in relief. I thought those performances by Berkwich and Evans were good to finish up that game. Yesterday, not so much at the end of yesterday. I thought Patrick did a nice job, and I think Christian Little's inning, if there was any momentum within that game, that was it. It was the sixth inning. I thought he pitched so well, and he had a lot of fire within him. But then after that, once the game got away from us in the eighth and ninth and we couldn't contain him, it just felt like an uphill battle.
You know, by seeing those guys in sort of short snapshots, you know, you're talking about Evans or Berkwich or Christian Little, does it give you confidence going forward you can put those guys in certain situations and depend on them?
Sure. It's just about where you're going to put them and how you place them within the rotation or within a game, I should say. But I spoke to Brownie about that today, and I think we're getting improvement in that pitching staff, and I like what I see. I feel like if those kids just are on a continuance of growth, then it's going to give this team opportunities for positive outcomes. Now, there's another side to it, and that's the offensive side and certainly the defensive side too. But from a pitching standpoint, we pitch well.
Visiting with Coach Tim Corbin, we're going to have more on Commodore Hour live from the Commodore Grill here at the Holiday Inn West End Vanderbilt. We're coming right back on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Catch Nashville Predators hockey all season long on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back inside the Commodore Grill. Andrew Allegretti here alongside Kevin Ingram and head coach Tim Corbin as we touch a little bit on the Tennessee series as well as push things forward to this week. A big game against Austin Peay coming up tomorrow. That's a 6 p.m. first pitch at the Hawk. It's also $2 Tuesday, so for fans as they come out, select concession items are $2 as they come out to the ballpark. And then, of course, Auburn this weekend. Coach, the last question that I want to ask you about Tennessee before we start to push this thing forward a little bit more. You and I had the conversation, I guess it was on Sunday, about Chase Dolander. the fact that he started off his career at Georgia Southern, with no disrespect to Georgia Southern whatsoever. He comes up and he throws 96, 97, touched 98 at one point in time in the eighth inning. My question to you basically was, how did somebody like Chase Dolander end up at Georgia Southern to start? I thought you provided some kind of unique insights about how the recruiting process works and the maturation of student athletes once they get to campus, not just finished products as high school students.
Well, I just think it's the timeline of how kids develop individually, and I think there's some kids that develop quickly in the 9th and 10th and 11th grade, and I think as a recruiter sometimes there's an urge to go out and get that kid at that point. But that doesn't mean that he's going to be on a continuance of development once he gets into a college program. I don't know how the recruitment of Dolander went at Georgia Southern with Coach Hennen, but I can imagine that he went to Evans High School in Georgia. They've got a pipeline of kids that go to Georgia Southern, and he ended up there because he probably was similar to a guy like Walker Buehler, who had a very good arm, clean arm, ball came out of his hand really well, but he probably didn't throw from a velocity standpoint that hard. He goes to college, really develops, takes off from a body standpoint, gets stronger, and the velocity spikes and jumps. And I think a lot of times when you don't have that velocity as a young kid, you learn to pitch. And that's a gift. Because when you have the velocity, you don't pitch as much because you use your power to get hitters out. Power does not get hitters out at the college level, nor does it ever get anyone out at the professional level. Pitching does. And that's the ability to manipulate the ball and decelerate the ball. And if you can do that, you got a chance to win. In saying that, Dolander throws almost 100 and throws in the high 90s throughout the game. You guys knew that. So he's a kid that's got a very strong arm. I thought I was looking at Jacob DeGrom out there when he was pitching against us.
You know, I think one thing that you said, too, that really stands out to me, not just about Dolander, but really Burns, and even Beam to an extent as well, is, and I'll let you get into the details on this, but it did strike me like those three pitchers had an arsenal of 4 to 5 pitches. It was more like a fastball slider, and they worked off of each other really well. Plus, they manipulated the slider almost perfectly. They could make it really dip, they could keep it on the corner. How unique is that sort of pitching style? And was that basically what you guys were facing from an offensive standpoint, was a fastball slider mix, but the ability to control those pitches at a higher level than a typical pitcher?
I think the ability to control at a higher level and throw those pitches with greater velocity too. And they're certainly command pitchers. They're not control pitchers, they're command pitchers. They get the ball to the glove. They walk 3 guys all weekend. I mean, they give us nothing. So if you're going to beat Tennessee, you're going to have to earn first base. And in order to earn first base, you've got to be very competitive at the plate. But there again, I give them credit. I give their pitchers credit. And, you know, Coach Anderson, their pitching coach, is an outstanding pitching coach. He really is. He's like our guy, Brownie. I mean, they're both older. They've both been around. They know how to call pitches. And I think what's most important about guys like Brownie and Frank Anderson is they do the things that their pitchers can do and stay away from the things they can't do as well. And I think that's what makes them special.
Andrew, I asked you about Carter Holton in the first segment. What did you like about the way he went about his business during the week to bounce back from the start at South Carolina?
Good. He's got a good way about him. I mean, he's a poised young man. I think I've said this to Andrew before too. He's asking me questions about Carter Holton. Sometimes you look back at a kid's background in terms of what he's done in his youthful career, not so much baseball, but he's a kid that had to work all the time, and he owned a job. And I think sometimes those kids who own a job, they have tremendous sense of value about opportunities, about what they're doing, and how they go about it. That kid takes nothing for granted. But I also think because of that, he's got some great resilience. So I knew after last week, you know, with South Carolina situation, that he would bounce back. And we didn't move him. We kept him in the same spot because you felt like, no, this kid's shown us enough, at least in the early time, that he's a special kid and he's got special bounce-back ability.
Do you hope that Patrick Riley might be on the way to maybe claiming a spot in the rotation?
Patrick is. I mean, Patrick's a kid that, you know, at the beginning of the fall even, we felt like he would get there at some point in time. But we didn't know with Maldonado in that starting spot, it Riley almost became the silver bullet. We started using him on Friday to finish a game, maybe Saturday to finish a game. So we kind of kept him as a reliever. And now with Maldo being out, we're going to turn to Riley as the guy that we feel like can give us some coverage. But Patrick's going to be good. Patrick's got a very good arm. He's got quality stuff, and he's getting pretty competitive too.
Devin Futrell was terrific last weekend. That start against Lipscomb over at First Horizon Park. What kind of step was that for him in that game?
Devin's just kept maturing. I mean, Devin, too, is kind of an old soul when it gets on the mound. I mean, he's a kid that has a very good understanding of pitching. He uses three pitches. He uses them well. He throws a lot of strikes. He's not timid. He comes after the hitters. He's got a good way to create different rhythms in his delivery. I mean, he's athletic. I think all of the, and he's left-handed. He's got the gift of being left-handed from God. So I think those things right there give him a chance to have a good career. There was I was in the area code games in California at the end of August last year, and I was sitting next to San Francisco Giants pitching cross-checker, and he said to me, he goes, "That kid Futrell that you guys got," he goes, "he's going to be a big leaguer." And he goes, "You watch." He says, "If I had $3 million, I would have given it to him, but we didn't." So Devin's going to be pretty good.
Not to go too in-depth on Devin, but it does strike me he is from that same high school, American Heritage, right? Enrique Bradfield Jr., Gavin Casas, Nelson Berkowitz. What is it about that particular, not to dive too deep into a high school, I guess, but just the markers that you seem to find out of kids like that? You've told me, too, specifically about South Florida kids that are interested in not going to Miami, are interested in not being at Florida State or Florida, something a little bit unique about those type of guys.
Yeah, I think you have to find that out first, because a lot of those kids want to go to Miami or stay in state, and rightly so. I mean, those are good programs. So for a kid to kind of fly over the state of Florida and go into Tennessee and go to school, particularly Vanderbilt, that's kind of a want to. Devin came to our camp in the ninth grade. Gavin came to our camp in the ninth grade. Gavin has a brother who was a first rounder of the Red Sox, probably going to be on their major league team this spring. So for them to want to do that is special. Certainly Enrique too, because Enrique was a kid that was recruited by every Florida school. So the fact that they came our way was a gift for us. What you get out of those kids is a high level of, I would say, an acumen for the game because of the level that they play. They play very good high school baseball. They have a very good understanding of it, and it's very competitive, too. There's no cheap wins in their conferences when they play. And you have a coach who tells it like it is. So when you talk to him about, okay, can this kid play at Vanderbilt, he goes, yes or no. There's no gray area with those guys. And I think we just hit on those guys. We were fortunate to get them.
Coach Tim Corbin is our guest. I want to ask you one more about the weekend. The Memories of Honor folks were there. Amy Cotta saw her at the game yesterday. And we had the 5K on Saturday. Yeah. Saw Maggie there. Saw Brooks and Josh out there running Saturday morning. How has partnering with that group been beneficial for your program? I know the cleats and other things that you've done.
Well, I think this is a good time to just talk about the whole entire weekend as a whole. And I want to get back to that. But I think everything that happened, you talk about our new lights were special. And you say, well, were they Friday night? That wasn't the lights. That was us. So, but the new lights are unbelievable. The environment that was there for us during those three games was incredible. The amount of people that came out, both Tennessee and Vanderbilt, was tremendous. Now going into Sunday with the honor, I just think it was such a very easy organization to side up with during the course of the fall when we talked about it, just because of what they stood for and the fact that we do take Sunday, as we have for many years now, and kind of honored those people that serve in the military and also serve our country. I mean, I think it's such a special thing just to kind of recognize why we have these opportunities, why I have my position, why you guys do what you do. It's just because of where we're situated within our country. And I think just that ability to honor that on a daily basis, especially Memories of Honor, to honor people and lost family members and those families who are still around and make them feel good about the energy that they're getting from this little college baseball team in Nashville, Tennessee.
Quick thought on Austin Peay as we go forward to tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm working on him right now. When I leave you guys, I'll go back to the office and kind of work on the scouting report. I started it, and that's always a tough game for us, and very respectful of their program, and I think even more so regardless of Austin Peay and what type of team they have. It's going to be tough for us anyway just because of where we're coming from and our perspective right now, but we're going to have to bounce back, and it's going to have to start somewhere.
Coach Tim Corbin, thanks a lot. Thank Appreciate you coming out here. Coach Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt at Austin Peay coming up tomorrow night over at Hawkins Field, 6 o'clock first pitch here on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. We'll come back with Vanderbilt Athletics Director Candace Lee in just a moment as we continue with Commodore Hour. Welcome back to Commodore Hour, live inside the Commodore Grill, live and in person here at the Holiday Inn West End, Vanderbilt. Kevin Ingram and Andrew Allegretta, we appreciate Coach Tim Corbin coming by and spending a half hour with us this evening. And now we're joined by Vanderbilt Athletics Director Candace Lee. Welcome, and how fun is it to be back out here in person again?
Thank you for having me, and I'm so excited to be in person. It's been a very long time since I've been in here, so happy to be here.
First of all, the Vandy United program has kind of been top of mind around here for quite a while. Give us an update on what's going on with so much attention, you know, given to what's happening there.
Yeah, I don't want to steal my own thunder because we'll be coming out with another Vandy United update pretty soon. But it's been a year since we publicly announced that initiative, and I've just been so pleased with the fundraising and with the response. You know, if you were in Hawkins this weekend and you saw we announced a big gift for baseball, specifically for baseball from Fred Hall, who is a student-athlete alum, who's been quite generous. And we've talked about baseball being a part of Vandy United, but we're getting in the nitty-gritty with design, and we'll be able to talk in more specifics. But there's a lot coming. I hesitate to say too much because sure. I'm going to say some stuff next week, and we've got an important Vandy United announcement coming next week that I'm excited about. But I think that the important thing to take away is that the support and the generosity has been tremendous. We will break ground on our first project in the fall. And there's actually a lot more being contemplated around Vandy United than what we've said to date. But that's because behind the scenes there's still a lot of work to do.
You talk about baseball, and out at Hawkins Field, just some minor improvements are very noticeable, aren't they? Maybe not totally minor, but you know, new seating and new areas for fans and so forth. It's cool to see people out there enjoying those.
You know, like Tim said it earlier, that we were very intentional about trying to create conditions that people could be excited about and where there would be high energy. We know our student athletes deserve that, but our fans do as well. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about Vandy United, of course, we talk about construction, and the facilities are important, but it's also making sure that we're taking care of our fans. And we have some added amenities that, you know, we know we need to offer. Some of that you'll be able to do with new facilities. But in the meantime, even something as simple as lights. Yeah. We saw the difference that it made in Memorial. I remember Tim and I sitting at a Titans game in the fall saying, this is pretty cool. And what if we had this in Hawkins? And so it's wonderful to see things go from a conversation to actual fruition and execution. And I'd like to continue to see more and more of that. Right? Sure. I'm holding myself accountable to that. But that's a great example. So thank you for bringing that up.
I say this half joking. I suspect Philip Brown sees the expense on the lights and kind of goes, minor improvement, huh? That bottom line says otherwise, doesn't it?
Well, it is an investment. But everything we do, it is a significant investment, but it's certainly worth it. And I have to say that Philip was supportive because he is also the baseball sport administrator.
That helps. I ask this one seriously, though, providing tangible examples for fans, right? Like, I understand anytime you launch something new, there's going to be, I don't know if skepticism is the right word or whatever you want to put on it, but understanding that this is genuine, we are truly moving in this direction, matters for you, matters for the athletic department, matters for the coaches and the recruits as well, whether it's the vagaries of a press release or the more specifics of, hey, did you see the lights that we just put in the other day?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Andrew, but we're doing what we think is necessary to move us forward.
Yeah.
I'm done talking about the talking. Just trying to take consistent action to show that we're serious, and I think that the actions will speak for themselves. And it's up to us to be consistent and to continue to show who we are today. So sometimes people are still looking at us through who we were. And in some ways, that's okay because there were so many wonderful things that we will continue to sustain. But we're also turning the corner on a lot of things. And rather than talk about it, my job is to make sure that I envision it, but then that we execute it.
My last question on the talk about it side of things,
sure,
is just to peel it back for fans. I'm curious the energy that you get from people as you go out and talk about Vandy United, both from a boots-on-the-ground fan sort of standpoint, but as well as the people that are truly making significant investments. As you're having those conversations with folks, as much as you can, peel back the curtain about the energy that you get within those conversations.
Yeah, I think it's okay to say that there was a healthy amount of skepticism early on, and there's still some of that may still exist, but it has energized me to see people motivated to give because they believe in what we're doing, and they actually see it coming to fruition. So, you know, there will be some people that don't believe till you put the shovel in the ground. There will be some people that may not believe once you're done. I'm focused on the people that are excited and want to grab a hold of this momentum. And to, you know, when you think about it, you're asking people to take their resources and invest it into something that you hope they can envision with you. You know, that's a big ask. So regardless of what level you're at, you get to make a decision about where to invest your resources. So when people make the decision to invest in us, that's a big responsibility. I take it very, very seriously, and I am motivated that they're motivated. So I will talk to anybody who wants to know why this place is so special and wants to help give our kids and our coaches what they deserve.
Visiting with Athletics Director Candace Lee, I want to ask you about basketball. Both programs not only made it to the postseason, but had success in the postseason. How fun was that for you to watch just both of those teams and those student-athletes having that success and enjoying that?
It was incredibly gratifying to be relevant in March. We haven't had that in a while, if we're being honest. And when I look at both from Jerry's perspective in year three and then watching what Shea has done in year one, I'm not surprised by the steps that we took. You know, but I also have the benefit of seeing what they do every day.
Yeah.
How they lead, how their student athletes respond, what they envision for their opportunity here. So it was incredibly exciting, and I think that we should get used to playing deep in March.
Yeah, I looked down at one point, it said like March 24th, and we had a game. And I was like, all right, this is good. If you're playing on March 24th, you're having a pretty good season.
That's right.
What do you appreciate about players like Jordan Cambridge on the women's team and Scottie Pippen Jr. on the men's team? It just means so much to their teams. You can tell how much it means to them.
You know, when I was listening to Tim talk earlier, and he was peeling back the layers and talking about, you know, like kids who have gone through personal experiences that help them with their resilience or overcome adversity. You know, I feel so fortunate to get to know these kids on a personal level, and we have some really special student athletes that play for us. And so you're right, Jordan Cambridge, who has overcome so much. You know, the things that Jordan has to do to prepare her body to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what she's been through. And I can identify a little bit with that, but she's a much better player than I was. But I can identify with having to overcome physical limitations to do what you love.
And they put in a lot of work, don't they? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, they put in a lot of work. And then Scottie Pippen, who, I mean, has single-handedly changed the trajectory of our program. I mean, it's when I say single-handedly, I'm not dismissing the rest of our team because, I mean, there's something special about every other person that plays in that program. But, you know, we see how special Scottie is, but also we've seen how hard he's worked and how much he has progressed, you know, from moment to moment, season to season. And those are two, but there are some incredible stories, and I think about my experience as a student athlete, and I know that I couldn't do what I do now without having had that experience. what you have to do every day. So you have to be able to put the bad stuff behind you and still show up. You have to commit at a level that people don't understand, both personally and academically and athletically and socially. You're trying to figure out your why. I mean, it's a privilege. It's a very tenuous time where we get these student athletes, and you try to give them everything that they can so that they're equipped to move forward. It's not easy. You're cheering for people, not just players.
Absolutely. And one point to underscore exactly what Jordan Cambridge did, right? For folks that may have missed it, the first triple-double in program history coming against Texas A&M right over at Bridgestone. The fact that she sets the single-season program record for steals. And I'm sure this makes Coach Ralph happy. She's coming back next year.
And she's coming back.
You know, on a personal level with that program, just to experience those moments with someone that, look, you've invested in, Vanderbilt has invested in with Coach Ralph, but there is a friendship that has developed as well. There must have been several really special moments throughout the course of the season for you, just sitting on the sideline there, watching those girls go through that and experience that joy.
You know, I'm not dodging your question, but I do feel like I've cultivated a great relationship with Coach Ralph on many levels. I actually feel that way about all of our head coaches. I spend a lot of time investing in those relationships because those are the leaders of, they're each of them are CEOs within our organization, and they are single-handedly impacting the trajectory for these young people. So if I want our student athletes to have a great experience, I have to make sure that their coaches feel supported and equipped. And the best way I know how to do that, besides making sure they literally have the tangible resources, is to invest myself. And so Shay is a wonderful example, but I hope that all 13 of our head coaches would say that that relationship is really important to the work that we're doing.
You know, I've heard coaches say, and I'm not sure that this is exactly the same thing, but I have heard coaches say, assistant coaches coach the players. The head coach coaches the assistant coaches. I'm not sure it's a direct parallel, but maybe that's some of what you're talking about. As an athletic director, you want to be tangible and there for the student athletes, I understand, but giving the head coaches as much of your time and resources to help them get to where they can be so they can devote their time to the student athletes, is that sort of what you're talking about there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair parallel. One of the things that we have going for us, we have many attributes, I think. One of them is the sense of community. So we're small enough that you really can forge and cultivate some pretty deep relationships. And doesn't mean that every day is easy. It doesn't mean that we always agree. But we are committed to the same core values. That is part of why I love what we do.
Candace Lee is our guest here on Commodore Hour. We're going to have more in just a moment as we continue from the Commodore Grill, live from the Holiday Inn Vanderbilt here on West End. We're coming right back on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
What makes Diskin Cider the best cider in the South? Well, for starters, Diskin is Nashville's first and only craft cidery. It's branch-to-can fresh cider, meaning it's fresh-pressed with no added sugars, nothing artificial, handcrafted with only real ingredients. And it's gluten-free. Diskin is now served at Vanderbilt football, basketball, and baseball games. So enjoy the refreshing taste of Diskin Cider the next time you're at the game. Diskin Cider is a proud sponsor of Vanderbilt Athletics. Cheers to a dangerously good time.
Middle Tennessee, you can count on an award-winning service team for all your home maintenance and improvement needs. Lee Company, A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, recognized by Angie's List as a super service provider since 2008, is ready to assist with all your home maintenance needs. Heating and air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, home improvements, and more. Experience the convenience of calling one phone number for all your home maintenance and improvement needs. Call Lee Company today at 615-567-1000, 615-567-1000, or visit LeeCompany.com.
Our coverage of Vanderbilt athletics rolls along after this word from your local station on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
ElectronicExpress.com. We make it happen.
Hey, it's Jared for TriStar Moving. If you're looking to move, you need to give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. At TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. Everything will be taken care of, from covering your floors, banisters, railings, front door thresholds, furniture, TVs, and more. They took great care of my move and made it as stress-free as possible. If you're looking to move, give TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit them at nashvillemoving.org/radio and get 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers.
When Smashville wants to rock. We are Nashville's rock station. 1029 The Buzz.
We continue with Commodore Hour live from the Commodore Grill here in Nashville. A nice Monday night, and Vanderbilt Athletics Director Candace Lee kind enough to come hang out with us on our first show back. How about Stack on the Final Four pregame show the other day? That was great to see, wasn't it? And I mean, pulling off the suit as he always does.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few men I think can wear a pink suit like that.
And, yeah. Am I one of the others?
Truly pulled up. I'm not going to – I made a mistake when I said that, because now we'll want to know who the few men are. And I feel like I should include my husband in that, but he doesn't have a pink suit. So no further comment.
Yeah, I told somebody the other day, I think Stack has more suits than I have T-shirts. But it is neat to see the program that get that kind of exposure on that level, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I think about Stack, there are so many wonderful things about him, but he does have a gravitas about him. That I think in year three you really got to see him embrace it, and that's been a long time coming, and I couldn't be more excited about where our basketball programs are headed.
Yeah, something, going back to something you were talking about last segment for student athletes, and maybe as it relates to these baseball games we saw over the weekend, you're talking about putting things behind you and moving forward. How difficult is that sometime when you have, you know, in your case, when you're playing basketball, or in these guys' case, playing baseball, and you got to forget about it quickly and move on to the next one? How difficult is that?
Yeah, I think especially when you're younger, a lot of your identity is tied up in being a student athlete and wins and losses, or how you perform. And so I think that that can be challenging. I didn't know how to do it as well when I was a student athlete, but now in this position, the ability to move forward, to put it behind you, to think with the long view. I think I probably learned that here as a kid and didn't even realize it.
Yeah. I was thinking, too, about you talking about when we were at the Hall of Fame banquet a few weeks ago about your relationship with Jim Foster and how that changes over time, and that you always called him coach, but then this week it's like, Jim. You know, I thought that was a hilarious moment there. But how fun is it to have those relationships change over the course of time?
It's beautiful, because I think you don't imagine what that's like. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't imagine it, and it was very humbling for me to go through that experience and to be the athletic director that gets to induct your coach. That's very, very special. And he certainly deserved it. It just felt to me like a small gesture, a small token that I could give to him in exchange for all that he did for me and my teammates. So it was wonderful. I did also go back to calling him coach starting the following Monday.
Isn't it funny, though, because I was with a friend of mine yesterday who to me, he's coach, and I just can't call him by his first name, you know?
It almost feels disrespectful.
Right, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I think there's not a coach out there that I feel comfortable calling by their first name. Not a single one, past or present. I want to switch our conversation a little bit and shine a light on something that I think got a push a couple of months ago when it first started, but it continues throughout the course of the year, and that's the 50th anniversary of Title IX and our celebration here at Vanderbilt. If folks don't know, there's a theme for each month. April's theme is student-athletes, and specifically female student-athletes in the business of sports. I'm just kind of curious your perspective, because you do sit at a very interesting intersection of that, someone that has carved out unique space for herself within the business of college athletics. What message you want student-athletes, female student-athletes, to get out of what they can do, both whether it's now or more specifically into the future, how they can make themselves a living through sports, whatever it happens to be down the road for them.
Well, you know, you said, and I appreciate what you're saying, you said I carved out a space, and I might adjust that
sure.
to say that the space was carved out for me. So that this celebration is about recognizing all the work that has been done before. You know, it is important to celebrate that while also realizing that we cannot rest because there is a lot of work to be done. So in some ways, you're experiencing both sides, right? A range of emotions. When the SEC tournament was here in early March, they did a wonderful job of celebrating trailblazers around Title IX from each institution. And so for us, that was Teresa Phillips and Sharon Shields. And it was incredible to just see those women and the other individuals from the other schools be recognized for all of their hard work. But I will tell you, we do have a long way to go. So the biggest thing I would say to young people is to recognize that people came before you to give you your opportunity. And when you get in the role, you need to make sure you pay it forward.
It's interesting to me. You seem to have a very centered perspective on history, and it carries a lot of value to you. I've seen it, whether it was Harriet Mason as she got inducted into the Vanderbilt Hall of Fame, the way that you've spoken about any number of particular things, but you also do a very wonderful job about this is our history, plus this is where we're going. Where did that sort of sense of balance come from?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a black woman yep. in a role that was created for white men.
Yep.
Right, so I recognize what that is. I know that I talk about this all the time, like breaking status quo. There's a lot that had to be overcome so I get to sit in the seat. So it's both worth celebrating, but it's a little bit of a conflict because there is still so much work to be done. But I try to approach much of my life from a centered place, though. So, you know, you don't get too high, you don't get too low, you don't think the work is done, but you also give yourself some grace. So that's the approach, but I would think much of it just has to do with my life and my vantage point.
When you see Dawn Staley win a national championship last night, it was the second one she's won, but how much satisfaction does that give you?
Well, I think she's an incredible coach, and I think Dawn could coach any sport, and she would win at a high level
mm-hmm.
because she's incredibly motivating. She's very good at her craft. She takes care of she handles relationships with care. I don't know if you heard her during the trophy presentation last night, but I actually stopped in front of the TV because I was so moved by what she said. So she was excited, but she said, first, I want to thank the kids on my team that don't play very much because you're a part of this championship too. And she named them individually, and she said they don't get the glory, but they are so important. That takes an incredible amount of just thoughtfulness and nuance. That on the biggest stage that there is in this sport, her first comment was to thank young people who may not have even touched the floor. I have a lot of respect for that. And, you know, she just gets it. She's like Tim Corbin. She's like, I mean, just gets it on a much larger level, right? And is using sport to impact.
Candace, on that, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for joining us here.
Really appreciate you
coming out here for our first show back.
Thank you for walking down that path with me, too. I appreciate it.
Good conversation. Thank you.
It's Vanderbilt Athletics Director Candace Lee joining us here at the Commodore Grill. Final few minutes here, Andrew. We mentioned baseball tomorrow night. We'll have Austin Peay over here at Hawkins Field. And I think Tim Corbin kind of hit it on the head talking about it may be more about us trying to get back than whoever we're facing in a particular game on a Tuesday night.
You know, first things first, the fact that you've got the luxury of throwing Devin Futrell on a Tuesday, that's a huge plus because mm-hmm. that young man has been fantastic. A freshman is doing things that, with the exception of, I guess, a couple of pitchers from Tennessee, aren't typically doing as freshmen. He is a very special weapon to have on a Tuesday, so that's great. And it is right back, no surprise to what we might expect, too, with a Coach Corbin-led team. You've got Auburn coming up. They just won back-to-back series against Texas A&M and LSU. It would be easy to focus on what is coming up, but because of where Vanderbilt is at the moment, you want to get yourself, again, centered against Austin Peay. Take care of your business. That's right in front of you. And I would suspect, look, I'd be shocked if they didn't come out and perform to the best of their ability. Coach Corbin certainly has a track record of being able to manage things in the difficult times to get them back on track.
You saw that start by Devin Vitrell last week. What impressed you the most about the way he went about his business?
He's very mature, right? His control, his command, his pitch repertoire is deep. He's got three different pitches that he can go to. He has been able to keep the walks down, and that is always the thing, right? To go back to a Coach Corbin used phrase, he said Tennessee over the weekend suffocated the strike zone. Well, Devin Vitrell has been a pitcher for Vanderbilt to the best of his ability that has been able to suffocate the strike zone and make things very, very difficult for opposing hitters. So, again, he is a huge luxury and threat to have and a weapon to have on a Tuesday. Where most programs would put Devin Vitrell on a Friday, Vanderbilt has the luxury to put him on a Tuesday.
Pre-game 5:45 tomorrow?
5:45 tomorrow. I think you've got the call on the SEC Network Plus. So our radio station for baseball, as always, 95.9 WNSR. You've got the SEC Network Plus, and then we'll turn the page toward Auburn coming up on Friday. It's a 6 p.m. first pitch on the Plains against the Tigers.
Should mention a big shout-out to men's golf. They won by 9 strokes at the Mason Rudolph Championship down at the Vanderbilt Legends Club over the weekend. They set a record. I think it was 47 under par for the weekend.
that
is remarkable.
Fine.
That's getting it done.
Fine. Yeah, plus in our final couple of seconds, we've not had a chance to talk about it in depth too much, but of course Bowling gets the Southland Championship, and they've been selected for the NCAA tournament as well. So best of luck to Coach Williamson and his crew as they turn that page toward the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they will bowl up in Lansing, Michigan on Friday is when they will start their run. Alabama State, Arkansas State, and Youngstown State are the other teams in their regional. So best of luck to all our teams, and thanks again to everybody who came out here tonight to join us as we made our return to our live radio show on Monday night. Hope to see you out here each week, 6 o'clock here at the Commodore Grill. Andrew, we'll talk to you at the ballpark tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. By the way, don't forget, the spring game is coming up on April 16th, so we hope folks can come out. 1 p.m. is the kickoff time for the spring game right at Vanderbilt Stadium. We're hopeful to have a guest from football on next Monday right here at the Commodore Grill to talk about it.
And the game will be on the 16th, as Andrew mentioned. Thanks to Gus Wedekamp, our engineer, our studio producer. We will say so long for now from the Commodore Grill. This is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Thanks for listening to Commodore Hour. Tonight's episode was brought to you by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. Built Ford tough. By Regions. Get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit regions.com/anchordown to order yours today. And by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.